Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
Hello and welcome once again to the Well-Fed Guide to Life, brought to you in part by HopChart.com. My name is Dave. With me, as always, is the drunken monkey himself, Mr. Evan.
How's it going?
Very good. Woohoo! Blessed and happy holiday to you.
Yes,
my friend. We're in the lull. The time between Christmas and New Year's. There's just nothing going on.
I'm perfectly fine with there being one major holiday a week. I don't need more in between there.
I disagree. I feel like this is just kind of a letdown. Like,
why?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday into Friday, the weekend of New Year's Eve, it's kind of a fail as a week. It needs something else in there. I don't know. You crescendo up into Christmas, you have like the Christmas Eve and whatnot. And then
I think you're insane.
And then it's Christmas. And then it's downhill.
And then, well, you could settle that because Kwanzaa is going on right now.
That's a good point.
You could do Kwanzaa.
I could do Kwanzaa.
What's the date today? It's the 27th.
Right.
Right?
Wasn't Festivus like yesterday or something like that?
I don't keep track of Seinfeld holidays.
Neither do I. But we do use the show to air the grievances.
It's true. No, I know the first day of Kwanzaa was Monday.
Okay.
And that's emoji.
You got a little bit on me.
Anything after that, I don't remember.
You emojied on me.
I don't remember. I was down in Milwaukee with Heather's family, and it's pretty much the only time a year I ever read the comic section of the paper.
Okay.
Is when I'm either with my family or with hers.
Mostly because it's not funny anymore. It's not comical.
It's more because I don't get the paper.
Oh.
So, you know, whatever. You remember, the show holds a special place in my heart. But do you remember the actual comic of Beekman's World?
No.
The Beekman's World comic started as, it wasn't so much a comic, it was just like, it was part of the educational section of the Sunday comics.
No, see, I had friends.
Wow, that's painful. Anyway, and they would answer science questions, and that's
right.
Where they got Beekman's World, the show.
Right.
So, but, and then they take, you know, reader questions, and that's how they do
okay.
the column.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, the one for this week was basically, isn't Kwanzaa just a made-up holiday? And their response was great. It was basically like, well, technically all holidays are made
right.
up, so it doesn't really matter. I just thought that was really cool. Really cool.
Either way, we are celebrating our post-Christmas letdown.
It wasn't a letdown for me.
At a fairly new place called Pat's Tap.
Sure.
In lovely South Minneapolis, just on the outskirts of Uptown. We're out at 36th and Nicollet.
We're kind of, no, I was going to say we're in Dirty Uptown, but that's further north.
Not Dirty Uptown.
Dirty Uptown is in between proper Uptown and downtown. I didn't make
that's
that term up.
Live.
That's where I used to live. I know that's how I know where what it's called. That whole Franklin area,
yeah.
That's all Dirty Uptown.
Yeah, you lived in Dirty Uptown.
I did.
Classy Northeast.
Yeah, that's right. Classy hip Northeast.
Yes, exactly. So, we're at Pat's Tap.
Yeah.
It's a new gastropub. And their big thing is, as you can hear, it's a very loud bar.
I gotta say, for a Tuesday night, this is pretty hopping.
Right. This is way busier than I thought it was.
Yeah, I'm...
But their big thing is, they've got skee-ball.
I see that.
They've got four old school skee ball.
Old school Minnesota. They're not old school Jersey Shore.
No.
They're very unadorned.
No.
You know, they're for like reject Chuck E. Cheese's.
Yeah, okay, okay, I'll.
Yeah, they do what they do.
Right.
But I wouldn't go so far as to say they're very vintage.
No. But they are old. They show their age.
Yes.
But it is very much in the vein of. Thank you.
How's the singer?
I just splashed it on the recorder.
Do you need to bring some more napkins?
No. Okay. No, it's very good.
Okay.
He's like a child.
I know. It's a lot better when you mix it too. It's not just straight brain.
So they've got a lot of beers on the menu.
They do. Well, not a lot.
A fair amount.
They probably got maybe a dozen and a half.
For draft.
It's all draft.
No.
Well, okay.
I read the.
How about I let you just do this?
Because I actually read the menu.
I didn't read the beer.
Right.
Once I saw the cocktail menu, I'm like, game on.
Knew it. I knew you didn't do any research to this.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot. I'd say about your dozen and a half estimate was correct on the amount of tap beers that they have.
Yeah.
All pretty much local or regional.
Yeah, there was a handful of Bells.
Yeah,
so but they also had like Finnegan's and they had Surly. Did they have Surly?
Yes.
Do they?
Yes. But a good selection, a good variety.
Exactly.
But the other interesting thing that they don't have is any beer in bottles.
Yeah.
Everything is in cans. So they've got probably 30 or so different types of beer in cans, as well as a full bar menu, which you partook in.
I did.
What did you get?
They have a really nice selection of what I would consider very classic cocktails. You know, Rusty Nail.
Boilermaker.
Boilermaker.
Cocktail.
Well, that's a cocktail. I would call that a cocktail. But it's a classic, you know, 50s.
Right.
50s selection.
Retro.
Yeah, kind of retro.
Yeah.
I went with something that I've been wanting to try for a while, but very few places have. And I actually discovered this in that book I read that has started me on the path to spirit snobbery. Why can't I fucking remember the name of the book now?
This is good radio, by the way.
This is terrible.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're on your game tonight.
We'll talk about that actually in a second. I feel really embarrassed, but I'll put it in the show notes.
I'm sure you will.
I will. But the cocktail is called a Stinger, which is it's a very classic cocktail in the sense that it's two things. That's it. It's all you get. In this case, the two things are brandy and creme de menthe.
Can I try it?
Absolutely.
I don't like brandy, and I'm not even a big fan of creme de menthe.
When I first had it, I had not mixed it. So I pretty much got straight brandy. And while it is good brandy, it's still straight brandy.
I don't like that. I'm going to be completely honest.
That's fine.
I don't like that. Not even a little bit. That might be, like, I'd never want to have that again.
What is your problem with it?
Well, it's two things I really don't like. I don't like creme de menthe. I don't like mint flavor all that much. I mean, I'll eat it, but it's just like, eh.
Depends on the cheese.
Sweet.
Well. Go on.
But I really don't like brandy. I don't like it in, like, eggnog. I don't like it. Ew. To me, it's like old woman drink.
Yeah. Just old people.
Right.
I think we're old men.
It has such an old Burke taste. I mean, it's so pronounced. It doesn't matter what you mix it with. You always have that. And it's this nasty flavor in the back of my throat. I just don't like it.
In the Christmas spirit, I'm going to let that one slide.
Right.
For me, I like this cocktail in the sense that for me, this is a great cocktail because I like the flavor. I like to taste it, but I know I'm not gonna want more than one.
Right.
So it's like, for me, that's exactly what I'm looking for in a cocktail. So something I can sip at, something I can kind of enjoy.
Right.
That I'm going to like, but not immediately want to have another one.
Okay.
Which this fits. And now I can say I finally had a stinger. I could almost use a little more creme de menthe.
Really?
And that's maybe just because I hit another pocket of brandy. But you got to keep mixing this. I mean, I think that's kind of one of the tricks. But
that actually might be helped by the more that the ice melts.
Yeah. I can see that. Because it is on the rocks. What did you get?
I got an old standby. Really, because you were Bogarting the drink menu. I got a Farm Girl Saison by Liffbridge. Stillwater Brown.
Very nice.
It's just an old standby. Because of what we ordered, I wanted something that would probably pair well with pretty much anything.
Uh-huh.
And something I would enjoy that I wouldn't have to think too much about. Because we're going to be trying a lot of different flavors.
We are indeed. We're doing a type of show we have not done in a long time.
Right. A throwback, if you will.
A throwback, yeah. In the sense that it is the all appetizer show.
It should have its own music, honestly.
It really should, but I think there's enough going on in the sound right now to add music would be a bad idea.
Okay.
But, so in this case, it's not so much appetizers, but small plates. They're doing that, the gastropub thing, where they're not really appetizers, but it's something that you can get a bunch of to share with people.
Right.
So, it's kind of that weird middle ground between between an appetizer and, like, tapas. You know what I mean?
So, a free appetizer landed on the table.
Yeah.
And they're homemade Cheez-Its.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not even a big fan of Cheez-Its. Just alone.
Have you ever had the Parmesan and garlic?
Yeah, I've tried them all. It's just not my cup of tea.
How can you, as a human being, eat a Parmesan and garlic Cheez-It and not immediately want to have three boxes of it?
I'm not saying they're not good. It's just that when we're talking snack foods, it's like, meh.
Yeah.
There are other things that I will gravitate towards in the cracker and cookie aisle.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting.
Okay.
You got some snacks coming at you?
All right.
Here we go. Goat cheese fritters. Fried pickles.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you're working on it for you.
Yeah, we do.
We got zucchini cakes coming. They'll be out in a second.
Pork belly?
Assume that's pork belly. Okay.
That's a lot of damn pickles.
So, the Cheez-Its, for me, they are about as successful as any time you do a homemade version of a consumer product. They're fine. I could use a little more salt, honestly.
It tastes old.
They do. They're a little stale. I mean, and I don't know if that's just the fact that they are stale or just they're a good deal thicker than a standard Cheez-It. I mean, they're not bad.
They're not that good.
Yeah, I mean, they're not. For free kind of snacky food, I think they do the trick.
Yeah.
But I could use maybe a little more salt. So we got round one here. It's really a where to start situation. You've already started.
Well, we got fried pickles, which are served with the beer batter, the ranch sauce, a regular dill. You all right?
Yeah. I'm very all right.
And it's a fried pickle.
Let me try it.
Sauce.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. The batter is. Could have been a little bit more dark.
I actually like the batter. I like it a little lighter.
I mean, I like the beer batter on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very obvious, like, it's the lightness on it. It's the beer batter. But there's... To me, you really have to go just almost brown with fried pickles.
I guess we will agree to disagree on that one. I think the batter is the right consistency for what I want. Here's the thing, and I say this in a loving fashion. What were you expecting? Have we ever, either on this show or in our general lives, had what we would call a transcendent fried pickle?
Well, you've talked about a transcendent fried pickle.
We've talked about it, but we've never had it.
Okay.
You know, there's only so much you can go with. You know, you can't really season it too much, because then it's not a pickle.
Well, see, this is something I'm attempting at home.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
All right. Excellent. Thank you.
We
might need a bigger table. So the pickles were mixed on.
Yeah.
The other
love
thing
them, don't hate them.
Yeah. I like them more than you do, but I'm not. It's a fucking fried pickle.
Right.
What are you gonna do? These pork belly skewers, however. Those are pretty outstanding.
I agree. There's some dusting of something on there.
Yeah, it's
that's
well,
really tasty.
You got the menu under six plates here. Let's see if I can see the color. Let's see what we got here. So the pork belly skewer is actually lemon and pinchito spices.
Okay.
Which I don't know what that is, but it sounds hot.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean they're nice and they're not overcooked. They're not chewy. They're that kind of good pork gum that I like from pork belly.
Right.
The spice adds a lot to it. You know? And the lemon is, in the case, it looks like it's just pretty much just lemon juice. But very tasty. I might fight you for that last skewer.
It's an equal part, so we can split it.
Fuck you.
Come on.
Fine.
It's the season.
Season's over. Yeah, those the skewers are pretty outstanding.
Can we go back to the fried pickle again?
Yeah, let's go back to the fried pickle.
Okay, so I haven't had a transcendent fried pickle.
Okay.
But to me, part of the fried pickle experience is the dip. So I got a little bit more unique.
How is everything?
It's good.
Good.
Anything that you don't have
More table space.
Yes.
Right.
Other than that, we're good.
TV tray.
Good.
Yeah.
Water, food. Enjoy.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Oh, no, I'm with you on the dip. You know, I think you can do more with it, but...
Thank you.
But you run the risk of... You run the risk of overpowering the pickle. And these aren't... I mean, for a straight-up... Like a dill pickle.
Right.
You can easily just overcome it. You want the pickle to be the star.
Right.
So I think if you go a little too crazy with it, you run the risk. I see what you're getting at.
What I'm doing at home is I'm doing fried pickles, but I'm doing them with different types of pickles too. So I've used the pickle chips that you brought back from Louisiana.
Yep.
Which actually turned out really good.
Oh, yeah?
With just a simple beer batter, and I didn't even need to dip it in anything.
Okay.
Because it was that good sweet and hot flavor all together. And then I did it in October. I was down in Lanesboro, Amish country in Minnesota, and they had a little stand set up on the side of the road, one of the Amish people. And bought some dill pickles from them. Tried it with them. Because of their canning process, the pickles just didn't hold up properly. And then I had some of my brother's pickles, which is dirtier than it sounds. But he did a really spicy dill pickle.
Okay.
And they were freaking awesome. So I think it's half pickle, half dipping sauce. And I'm doing the beer batter that I'm doing is pretty simple, you know, a little bit of black pepper, flour, a good light beer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know, something that works well with the beer.
Ooh. Okay.
and then the dipping sauce where I might throw together like a wasabi mayo or something like that.
Yeah, I think kind of the one verdict or overriding lesson in terms of the pickles is it's all, I don't want to say store-bought, but I mean it's very kind of pedestrian, middle of the road. No one's going to dislike it, but you're not going to create any huge fans,
right.
As opposed to those pork skewers, and as opposed to these zucchini cakes.
Don't ruin it for me now.
The zucchini cakes are, what happened to the menu?
I think she took it, actually.
Oh, she, that bitch. But zucchini cakes, I originally thought they'd be almost like banana bread, like they were, like, they're more baked. Okay. These are more of like a crab cake kind of application.
Okay.
Crab cake, potato pancake, that kind of idea. I've become more of a fan of zucchini in the last year or two. These are worth coming here for.
Wow.
I might even put these over the pork belly.
That's really incredible.
I mean, for a zucchini, for a vegetable-based kind of product like this, it's extremely moist. I mean, if you had put this in front of me, I would not think that it wasn't,
wow,
there wasn't some sort of meat base to this, like a crab or something like that. Like, it's literally that moist. And that could also mean that it's there's more butter in this than anything else.
Right.
But I don't mind that.
There's an animal byproduct in there somewhere.
I'm sure there's some sort of, you know, it's very fatty, but it is.
That is really good.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked at how much I enjoyed the zucchini cakes.
Wow.
And yeah, in terms of the topping, they've just got a little bit of sprouts, a little bit of, you know, a little bit of greens on there. Arugula, okay. And I don't know what this sauce is. I think it's just a mayonnaise. Yeah, it's just a really simple mayonnaise.
Looks a little bit of tarragon in there.
Maybe, but very little.
It's giving the illusion of a crab cake.
Yeah. It's basically a vegetarian crab cake.
Right.
And they succeed amazingly well.
Astoundingly. That's really damn good.
Here's the testimony to something like this, that for a place that does kind of odd applications to things.
Right.
For me, the test is, would I want to try to make this at home now? And I absolutely would. I would love to try doing something like this, because this is, we sound a bit gushy, but there you go.
Well, wait till you get to that.
Well, okay, we both had the bougères,
yeah,
which are the cheesy buns, the small cheesy buns.
Right.
I would not call this a small plate, for one thing. We got about a dozen of them.
Right.
That is a sizable portion.
Do you not feel like we need a dipping sauce for that?
I think a dipping sauce would help. To me,
something.
To me, the free Cheez-Its make a lot more sense now that I've had these. Because to me, the Cheez-Its are now rejected ones of these. Because it's the same kind of cheese flavor as you're getting in the homemade Cheez-Its. The same salt level, but it's a little easier. But it's just, it's a lot more fluffy, obviously, because it's more of a biscuit. A lot more fluffy, a lot more buttery. And I think perfectly fine. But you're right, you know, something to dip. Yeah, we'll try the ranch. Give that a shot.
That was kind of a mistake.
I've had work. Trying the mayonnaise now.
Neither one of those really
works. You almost need that one. You almost need like an herb butter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so something a little more savory, less dairy.
Or even like a really light goat cheese.
That would work. But again, not bad.
Not bad, just kind of very middle of the road. It's not wowing me, but I'm not disappointed.
Uh-huh.
There's some, it's almost popple over it.
Yeah.
It's got the flakiness and the airiness of a popover.
The danger with these is one of those where it's like, it's one of those foods that you're not going to be really wowed by, But a couple minutes are going to go by, and then you realize you've eaten them all.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, oh my God, we're done with this already.
So the other thing that we got, which we haven't talked about yet, but I've had one yet, is the goat cheese fritter. And it's served with a little bit of pickled beet and, again, more arugula. And it is exactly that. It is goat cheese fritter. It looks more like a hush puppy.
Okay.
And a bit more perfectly shaped. It's got a cornmeal, a little bit of cornmeal on the outside of it. To give it a bit more of a uniform shape.
Yeah.
It's tasty. But you definitely need the pickled beets on it.
Yeah.
That, to me, that's what makes it.
Yep.
It almost needs more of it, though.
And it's a really... It's a very dry cheese. Like, I think of the goat cheese at the sample room.
Right.
Where that is much more creamy. This is a little more... I hate to say things like ashy, because that sounds like it's more of a judgment on the taste.
It's not as moist.
It's just not as moist. I mean, it's fine, but you're right. That beet is really necessary to just give it a little something different.
Well, it cuts yeah. That cheese.
It is extremely rich.
Right.
For not being very creamy, it's very rich, which is kind of a feat.
So if you could do, like the pickled beets, you could do almost like an onion jam on top of it too.
That would be really good.
And I think that would work.
I'm going to have a last cheesy bun.
Go for it.
So how was your Christmas, sir?
It was good. We're good. Relatively low key. And we lost a damn mind. Like I was telling you pre-show, I polished off a huge portion of a bottle of 12-year-old De Weir's scotch with my uncle. Tis the season to be merry. My name's Mary.
Yeah.
No shit. I mean, it was smooth as the other side of the pillow.
Are you sure you're not mixing metaphors there?
I might be still drunk from that. Outside shop. That was good. Got a couple cool presents. I need work clothes bad.
Okay.
So I got a lot of that. Now, the coolest presents I got, though, was I got a new cookware set.
Oh, nice.
Calphalon. And it's the stuff that can go straight from
kind of the last ones.
Go for it. It can go straight from stove to oven. Because there's a lot of techniques. I've got a lot of technique type cookbooks at home that call for doing stuff like that. And I just don't have the cookware to do it. So that's going to be a cool thing to try. One in particular is a Tom Colicchio cookbook, which I got last year for Christmas.
One of your many man crushes.
Yeah, well, and I got a new Tyler Florence cookbook too, so.
It's like a big gay porno in your house.
It really was.
But I figured it would be dangerous to cook with your pants off.
You'd be surprised when you could put her apron around.
Ah, that's right.
But, you know, very, very cool stuff that I got. Very thoughtful gifts, and I was very happy.
Nice.
You know, I we brought it up on the show before. It's one of those things, you know, we've gotten to the point where the two of us can pretty much buy whatever we want.
It's true.
So I'd much rather have somebody go and give me something that I wouldn't, A, either normally buy for myself, or B, something extremely thoughtful.
Yeah.
So.
What was probably your favorite gift?
I can't pick one. Honestly, I really can't. because I liked everything. There were so many things that kind of fit together.
Uh-huh.
I'd be lying if I said that I don't love the Tyler Florence cookbook that I got. But I also...
Okay, explain that to me. I paid a little bit of attention to Tyler Florence when I had cable. And there's nothing about what he cooks that really impresses me.
I think what he does to kind of...
It might be the Applebee's endorsement, honestly.
It might be that. It's more of... He makes things that are doable, but if you ever try some of his recipes, just those tiny tweaks that he makes turn out all the much better. And, like, there's nothing that in any of his cookbooks that I couldn't make or not feel confident making.
Okay.
And they all taste good, and they're not poofy.
Okay.
There's nothing poofy. It's very mannish food.
Yep.
You know, it's food with a set of testes on it. You know.
A what?
Food with a set of balls.
Oh. That is not what I heard, but okay.
Well, it's because you never pay attention to what I have to say.
Well, there's doings to transpire. There's a lot going on here.
Doings to transpire.
That's right.
Okay.
It's a Simpsons reference. Shut up.
But no, I couldn't pick a one. I like that. I didn't have any disappointments.
Well, that's good.
None. How about you?
Well, we went down to the wife's family, the in-laws, as they're called. And I find it funny. I found two things kind of entertaining in hindsight. One, the first Christmas I had as a married man, I got more toys than I think I have ever gotten for a Christmas.
It means they like you, they want to keep you.
I got two different video games and a board game.
Wow.
Now, one of those was from my wife, because we also did our personal Christmases while we were down there.
Okay.
But, yeah, I got more toys and things than... that was awesome. I mean, I'm totally for that. Also, we have officially made the transition to... Yeah. Not Heather, not Evan. We are Heather and Evan. As one solid unit.
Could I shorten it up and call it Heaven?
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I went there.
Yeah, you're not the first.
I can't believe I just thought of that.
So we ended up getting a lot of things that were for us.
Okay.
Which, again, I'm fine with.
See you guys in an hour.
And I felt kind of bad because a lot of Heather's stuff was for both of us.
More geared towards you, maybe?
Not so much. I mean, we got two more sets of our silverware.
Which you needed.
I disagree. We don't need 8 place settings worth of dishes or of silverware, especially when there's 2 forks and 2 spoons per place setting. That to me strikes me as excessive, but I'm weird.
You are weird.
I don't understand why we need 8 fucking china sets. But whatever. I lost that fight, so it's like, whatever. But we also got a safe. It was kind of, this Christmas is going to be for us people finishing off our wedding registry. Which we kind of intended. We basically said, here's the wedding registry. Here's the stuff we didn't get. If you're looking for ideas, go here.
Right.
So, like, we got a safe for passports and birth certificates and shit like that, which we wanted.
Right. Something if the house burns down.
Exactly. Although it's concrete, so that'll be impressive fire. We also got...
I bet that was fun carrying in the house.
What?
Yeah, that was fun carrying that.
Actually, it wasn't that heavy. It's a small one. It's probably maybe 2 cubic feet. So, okay. I mean, it's not that big. Like, literally, it's just big enough to hold, like a couple dozen documents. Yeah, so, I mean, nothing big. We did, however, get several food things.
Okay.
For one thing, her parents always get us a shipment of Usingers. Usingers is a Milwaukee sausage brand.
You lucky bastard.
So we get a box. We got 3 kinds of summer sausage and 3 kinds of block cheese.
Okay.
And then we always get a Usinger's knife, like a little serrated kind of steak knife.
Okay.
With every box. So we have a little collection at this point. So that was cool. Invariably, we cut some summer sausage into like a pasta sauce. And that's always awesome. Then her sister always gets us a shipment from Red Cooper, which is mail order fruit. So we got like a shipment of pears and grapefruits and apples and shit like that. So we get all that, which will go awesome with our giant food processor that we were getting. It's literally called the Big Amount. Okay, it's a 14 cup.
That's a big food processor.
Food processor. You could probably do a whole watermelon in this thing. I am excited.
I've got 12 coming home, but even to me, that's more than I need.
Yeah. Yeah, you can put whole tomatoes in this thing.
Nice.
Like multiple whole tomatoes in this thing.
I think you should shove some rocks in there. Just to see what happens.
I don't think that would go well. So that was awesome.
Okay.
For Heather, I got her something called a bread cloche. This is one of the many pieces of baking apparatus that I was unaware of as a mortal. Before I got
baking apparatus.
Baking apparatus. What a baking cloche is, or a baker's cloche. It is essentially a pizza stone for bread. It is an earthenware vessel. It's a flat kind of plate, and then a bell-shaped covering. So it's
not like a tureen.
It's not a tureen. Think like when if you look up cloche, if you just look up cloche.
All right.
And if you look in the food section, because there's a hat style called a cloche, which is not what I got her. Think of more like a cake display, like a cake pan. Like if you go to like a diner and they've got like a cake in like the glass thing.
Yeah.
That's basically what this is. It's the kind of bell-shaped top and then the plate under.
Yeah.
What you do is you put a loaf of bread dough in there and you bake it in this earthenware thing so it gets crispy on the outside, but still kind of moist on the inside.
Yeah. You all right?
That was really a present for Daddy. You know? Like, you ever... You know how when you buy your kids toys that you're really buying it for yourself? That was what this was. Now, sure. She wanted... I mean, she had said multiple times that she wanted one.
Okay.
So it wasn't as selfish as it sounds.
As it sounds, yeah.
But I'll be damned if I'm not gonna really. And what I'm most looking forward to.
Would you like another beverage or?
We're good. Can we get a menu? Because I think we're gonna do another round of shit.
I like that present for Daddy.
It's a present for Daddy. What I'm sadly more excited for is we can make bread bowls for dips.
Oh my.
Because, I mean, that's literally what this was, not literally what it was designed for, but that style of bread, that kind of rustic Italian loaf.
Okay.
So, she's already said we're going to a New Year's Eve party with some friends of ours. And she's already said she wants to make a loaf of bread for the party.
Okay.
So we will get some use out of it. But what's weird is it's like a cast iron pan. I'm so excited, I'm spinning.
There you are. My God, man.
I know. It's exciting. You don't understand. You've had her baked goods.
Yeah. Oh my.
And there's shit you haven't even had before.
Well,
shit, she keeps
nearly,
between us. This sounds like we're talking about some sort of sex act, but no, this is Like, she does shit you have never even heard of before.
She does shit for you that I wouldn't even get to touch.
I know, I know.
Well, that's not very fair.
Well, I know. I'm not going to share that. And then, on top of all that,
right.
Apparently her parents bought a share of a cow that was butchered.
A cow share.
Share, if you will.
It's like timeshare.
It's like timeshare, but you don't have to give it back. So we came out of that.
Well, you could.
Well, you could, yeah. We came out of that with 3 pounds of grass-fed cattle burger.
Oh, my God.
Like 2 pounds of stew meat. And at least a couple steaks. They had an arm. No, we didn't get steaks. We got a rump roast. Because I'm not a big steak guy, so I'd much rather have a roast. They had an arm roast from this cow. It was almost the entire arm of the cow. It was about a third of the size of this table.
It's a beautiful thing.
It was amazing. Like, I could have killed someone with it. So yeah, we made literally I have to now go downstairs and unearth the dead body freezer. Because we have one, big like chest freezer. So I have to unearth it out of the basement because we just left it unplugged and because we weren't using it.
But, nice.
But yeah, other than that, my Christmas was pretty good. We got we made a trip down to Penzies.
That's weird that the two of us have been to Penzies. Both have been to Penzies within a couple days of each other.
Yeah, but you went to the Penzies up here.
Right.
Penzies is based out of Milwaukee.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So there's actually a Penzies water tower, which we joke is filled with Chili 3000.
You just joked a little bit about it.
Well, no, Heather makes the joke too. We did some damage at the Penzies store.
I could be in there for hours.
Oh, I know.
Honestly, I just want to go around and just smell everything.
Yep.
And steal a big old bottle of saffron.
Yep. All right. So we want to do the lamb.
Right.
I know. Is there anything else? Do you want to do cheese curds?
I can do whatever.
Let's do the cheese curds.
Unless you want to get another round of zucchini cakes.
Those are fucking tempting.
I'd be fine with the lamb meatballs and zucchini cakes.
Yep. Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that. I've actually had Castle Rock cheese curds.
So have I.
Yeah. They're good.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not turn them down.
But I would. I'm with you on the...
Yeah. Okay. I think we're going to just do the lamb meatballs.
Okay.
And another round of the zucchini cakes.
Okay. I'll bring some water right over.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
So yeah, we did the Penzies thing. One thing I love doing while we're down in Milwaukee is they've got a couple stores that we don't have.
Okay.
They've got a place called Sendix, which is kind of like our Lunds or Byerly's.
Okay.
So it's a little higher end. But like most places in Wisconsin, they have a sizable alcohol area. A lot of wine, a lot of beer, and it's full of Milwaukee beer. And, you know, Milwaukee, as we talked about before the show, kind of known for its beer.
You don't say.
I know.
I've never heard of this thing.
I know it's a shot.
It's a concept. I've never heard of it.
But they, so they've got all these little craft brews there. And as a lot of places are doing now, a lot of these brews are doing, they're also branching into soda.
Okay.
So.
It's game on.
Yeah. So, they get Milwaukee Magazine. Her parents get Milwaukee Magazine. It's kind of like our Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine.
Okay.
Again, geared toward a more affluent customer. You know, that's where you're going to get the craft brew ads. And Lakefront Brewery, which we've had on the show before, I'm a big fan of it. I like a lot of their stuff. They came out with... Brace yourself. They came out with a maple root beer.
Okay.
That became my holy quest to find that.
Okay.
And I'll be damned if I could find it anywhere. We went to 3 different places
Okay.
looking for this. and we could not find it.
Now, that makes my teeth hurt.
I know.
Just thinking about that. Like, the overt sweetness of that. Yeah. Like, makes my teeth feel chalky.
I think that could be outstanding.
Well, you like that maple flavor more than I do.
I do. I'm a big fan of maple flavor. Heather just made maple cookies not too long ago.
Yeah.
Which were very good.
Yeah, that's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah. And we ended up settling for, and I forget the brewery now, but it's a soda called Pier Jumper.
Okay.
It's called Twisting Citrus. So it's a lemon lime soda. And like a lot of lemon lime sodas, especially ones that are sugar based, not as opposed to high fructose corn syrup, the quality really dips when it's even room temperature. Like, you need that as cold as possible.
To me, that with the lemon lime sodas in particular, you lose a lot of carbonation too. Like, I like my carbonation level needs to be just right there.
So what about like a squirt?
That's perfect.
Okay, so you want a little more tang to it.
Tang, especially in the lemon lime.
A little more burn.
Yeah.
I see that. And you're right. One thing, you know, as big a craft soda fan as I am, the one kind of prevailing trend I've noticed is a lack of carbonation.
No, speaking of that, I'm going to change gears on you a little
bit. Okay, I'm ready.
My brother Mark hosted the holidays with my father.
Okay.
And he recently got married. And one of their wedding gifts was a soda stream.
Which we registered for, but Santa did not get us.
I was shocked at how good that was.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I learned very quickly, you have to drink it basically straight out the bottle.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's no good after a day or two.
Yeah, because there's no preservatives.
Yeah. We made a fresh root beer.
Yeah.
It was better than most root beers I've had.
I've heard that the SodaStream syrups are pretty good.
Yeah, it was surprise. It was like, yeah. Wow, this is really quite good.
Yeah.
Like, I would have this again. But he also, you know, we tried an orange, a strawberry that he had made basically the day before. And it was like, yeah, but the root beer was just like completely, not to steal a quote from a douchebag, but it was on point.
Which douchebag was that?
Guy.
Is that a Fieri thing?
Yeah. No, it was good. But
it sounds like something he would
say. I don't know how else to describe it other than it was exactly how root beer should taste.
Okay.
You know, it had that good bite, but it still had that kind of sugar caney sweetness, but old timey sarsaparilla type stuff going on with it.
I'm with you.
Right.
I, along other similar soda news,
right.
There was a story that came out, might have been last week, might have been the week before, about how Mountain Dew is full of fire retardant.
Challenge accepted.
And what the story was, it was the classic science article where it was like, Chemical X does this, but it's also in these foods. You wouldn't eat this, so why are you eating food with this?
Okay.
Mountain Dew, a lot of fruit sodas contain what's called brominated vegetable oil. Okay.
I can't even make a joke about it.
Yeah. It's a preservative, and it also affects the mouthfeel of it. What?
Well, brominated soda has a mouthfeel. No?
I'm not
no?
seeing it. But anyway.
No?
Brominated vegetable oil, or bromides, are also used in fire extinguishers. Never mind the fact that bromides are also used in about 1,000 other foods. But it just went nuts. Like, okay. This whole story is like, oh my god, you know, Mountain Dew is terrible for you.
Okay.
Fanta is really bad for this, actually. Like, Mountain Dew is probably the worst, but all the Fantas are all pretty bad. Squirt, actually, is not good for it either. And I normally dismiss these things. Okay. Because, I mean, I think of things like the Yellow 5 thing.
Yeah,
like, yeah, Belly Yellow. Or, I mean, a lot of things have Yellow 5 in them.
Right.
And... The, the whole thing, if Yellow 5 shrank your testicles like they said it was, I would have an innie at this point. Okay? It's like...
Wait. You're telling me you drink more Mellow Yellow than Mountain Dew?
Yeah, no. A lot of these have Yellow 5.
Right.
Mellow Yellow is not the only one that has Yellow 5.
Right, but... Like, Yellow 5, that was synonymous with Mellow Yellow.
It was, but it was unfair because a lot of things used that.
I think it led to the Mellow Yellow downfall.
No, Mellow Yellow's taste ended it added to its downfall. Regardless, so I was looking at this article because I figured it's something we'd want to talk about on the show.
Right.
And they're talking about, like, bromide poisoning and all this shit. And they interviewed this guy. They found this test story of a guy that was drinking 5 liters of soda a day. And he was actually drinking the Code Red variety of Mountain Dew, which, you know, that's a stronger man than me at 5 liters a day. But it was
How many feet does he have left?
I don't know, but it was actually turning his skin red.
Ah, God.
Okay. So I'm like, okay, that's obviously a ridiculous, that's an outlier case.
Right.
But I was looking into the symptoms of, like, bromide poisoning.
Okay.
And I drink a fair amount of sugar, of citrus sodas. That's kind of my thing. Not a cola guy. You know, I'll dip into the Dr. Pepper a bit. But, you know, I'm much more Mountain Dew.
Root beer.
Root beer, less so, because it's hard to find good root beer. I'm much more of a snob when it comes to root beer.
Yeah, you really are.
I can't do Barks anymore. It's really sad. Regardless, I drink a lot of it.
Yeah, you do.
And one of the side effects of bromide poisoning is memory loss.
Yep.
And that is definitely something I have noticed in the last few years, that I've gotten more and more scatterbrained.
Yep.
And it was when I was just like, I should, you know, this is something I should think about.
Right.
So I'm done.
Hold on a second. You're telling me, what do you mean you're done?
My goal is to end January. Like, I had one this morning.
Right.
With my breakfast. Because that's the way I am. Yeah.
Did you pour it into your cereal?
No. But I want to say that I went in the entire month of January without having a Mountain Dew.
Okay.
And I want to see, like, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not one of these alarmists when it comes to these kind of stories.
No, but it'd be interesting to...
But yeah, it's kind of an experiment.
Okay. You do realize what this means for me.
What does this mean for you?
That I'm going to greet you every time I see you with a leader.
See, why would you do that, though?
Because it's funny. Because I know it's your weakness.
Is that how much you care about my health?
It'd be like you greeting me with, like, Oreos. Double stuff.
No, you wouldn't be greeted with them. They wouldn't leave the house.
That's a good point. But see, I don't drink Mountain Dew. I don't have to worry about that.
Well, but my point is that you have that much disrespect for me?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. Well, then in that case, no. But no, I honestly want to see if I can do it, and I want to see if it affects you.
You know, interesting quandary. That
it is.
I don't think you can do it.
I've done it before. I have gone a month.
No cheating, no nothing?
Nothing.
No falling off the wagon?
No.
Not even a little nip before bedtime?
No.
Not even a little pick me up to get...
Originally, like, because we're starting...
How the hell are you going to get going in the morning?
What?
How the hell are you going to get going in the morning?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this just in general because, you know, I'm trying to watch the health.
The shows.
Yeah. You know. Trying. The 2 orders of zucchini cakes aren't going to help, but, you know.
No.
But one thing I thought of, because, you know, I'm a big soda guy. Before I just made this decision to just not have Mountain Dew anymore, I wanted to, I was just trying to find ways to cut my intake, and I made the decision to only have soda with meals.
Well, that's very big of you.
Well, no, for me, it's a double-ended, it's a two-sided thing. Because one, it's just not something I'm doing to just have stuff. It's kind of like smoking. It's like I'm not just doing it to have something to do.
So, another question for you.
Okay.
Is this gonna be one of those things like you're gonna be like a countdown to your last one? Like December 31st, you're gonna have like 8 or 9 of them.
No, my goal is to just stop right now.
Okay.
But I'm giving myself a week of kind of freedom. Or if
you need it, you got
if
it.
I need it, but you know, it's January 1st, I'm done for all of January.
You literally sound like you're going to stop smoking.
I know, and it's partly experiment and partly. I should say it's mostly experiment, but it's an experiment on several levels. I'm interested to look at a couple different things.
Right. I'd actually like to see if your memory gets worse.
That would be funny. I've been buoyed by brominated vegetable oil.
Right. You need it to keep you regular. Or if it actually like screws up your digestive system.
Well, that was the other thing. It was like, that was the second prong of the reason why I only put sodas with meals.
Right.
Because given my regular diet, sodas combined with that, it just turns me into a ticking time bomb.
Okay.
And it's kind of aversion therapy.
You guys are going for it. I love it, man.
Oh, I'm sorry?
Land meatball.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Final round is done.
All right. We went with another round of the
fantastic
zucchini. Yeah.
Zucchini.
Yeah. We got to try the meatballs here. Those are really interesting.
I have a weird description for them.
Okay.
They're fluffy.
They are an odd texture. They're and I don't know if that's just the the sauce that is adding a weird kind of moisture to it.
They're weird.
They are weird. The sauce, you almost get almost like an Indian vibe. It's got a little bit of that, the mint and the kind of, a little bit of the curry.
I'm getting Afghani.
Yeah.
Right,
very good.
Great.
It's very bizarre.
Very similar flavors to what we had at the Afghani.
Yeah. It's a very Middle Eastern preparation. To me, and I think we can kind of go out on this note, to me, the stuff we had can fit into two categories. The stuff that is fine, you know, not world-breaking, you know, nothing really crazy, but decent, you know, and to their credit, you can tell that they put some thought and some skill into making what they did. It's just, it doesn't always work in a mind-blowing kind of sense.
Right.
I put the meatballs in with this, the pickles, the goat cheese fritters.
Yeah.
All perfectly fine, not really world-changing.
Not blowing our doors off.
Exactly. Then there's the second class,
right.
Which is like, holy shit, I can't wait to have another serving of this. The zucchini cakes are in that.
Right.
I think that is easily our favorite.
Absolutely.
Of everything here. Like, no matter what you get,
right.
Get those zucchini cakes. I would count the pork belly, too.
I agree.
The pork belly was very good. It was perfectly spiced. You know, good and fatty, but you don't feel like you're chewing on just like pork gum. You know, there was some meat there.
I'll say it again. The zucchini cake tastes like there's meat in it.
Yeah.
It's meaty. It's tasty. It tastes like a crab cake.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, clearly that's the biggest surprise. Because honestly, of everything we picked, there's no way I would have guessed that the zucchini cake would be the one that we come away with wanting to love. Yeah.
And singing high praise of not just like, yeah, it was okay. It's good. I mean, that's really good.
Yeah. What are your impressions?
I dig it. I'd be more interested in to try this place and actually have a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Because we kind of just scratched the surface.
Yeah.
You know, they have so many interesting things on the appetizer menu, we just decided to go that route. But they did have a decent dinner menu and a good sandwich menu as well.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to come back and give that a whirl as well.
Yeah.
But, of course, they have the zucchini cakes, yes. I like the vibe. I think one of the things we remarked upon when we got here was it reminded us a lot of the Herkimer.
Yes.
And the look and the feel of it.
And the crowd. I mean, this is a very young crowd. It's a fairly hip crowd.
Might even call it hipster.
You could go so far in there. It seemed to me, and this could be just my inner suburbanite coming through, I was a little concerned when we got here originally as I was looking around. It seemed like there was a lot of gay couples here. And I'm not saying that like it's a bad thing or that, you know, I wouldn't feel comfortable in a place like that. But it was just one of those just like, that's kind of an odd little observation.
I agree.
But I think that's also a big part of the neighborhood too.
Yep.
To me, if I was in this area, this would be my neighborhood place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty accessible price-wise. It's a fun atmosphere. You got the ski ball, you got pool.
It's a very safe atmosphere as well.
Absolutely.
Inviting.
Yep.
You know,
and it's a good combination of classic flavors done with a little bit of skill. I wouldn't even say a little bit of skill, a fair amount of skill, and some creativity. You know, I think of that amazing cocktail list. I mean, a lot of classic ideas in there, just with a little bit of twist to them.
I think we both agree that some of the stuff on the menu needs some refinement, but
yeah,
don't, for God's sake, don't touch
it. And you said this place is fairly new, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think of this place as definitely a place to look out for, and a cool neighborhood area, a cool neighborhood joint.
It's like a nice blanket.
Yeah.
You know, it's comfortable, it's inviting, it's warm, it's familiar. You know, I give it 2 thumbs up. I think there's always room for improvement, but for as old as it is, you know, and I say old as in young, for how new it is, it's doing very well for itself.
Yeah. I mean, they're clearly not having any problem bringing people in.
It is busier than hell.
So, I think very high marks for this place. So, let's talk a little about next week.
Yes.
Actually, it's a busy couple weeks for us.
Yes, it
is. Because next week, we are doing we decided it was our third annual or our fourth annual?
The 86th annual.
Yes. The third or fourth annual Well-Fed Awards.
Well-Feddies.
I refuse to call them Well-Feddies. I think, we'll be putting up a list of we're going to do a listener's choice again. And what I think we're probably going to do is we're going to limit the listener's choice to like 5 to 10 places.
If that.
If you want to write in a place, you're more than welcome to. But I want to kind of limit it to that. As per usual, we'll be giving away gift certificates to the winner of the listener's choice, or to one of the voters. Thank you. And that'll all be part of our Share the Pants promotion project that we're doing. And But yeah, we'll have the award. We'll actually have the awards next week. So I'm looking forward to it. You started looking at the list from this last year.
It's getting us. We're getting to a number of restaurants. Like, I can't believe we've been to this many restaurants. But we've been doing it that long.
Yeah. Well, this is episode 192.
Right.
Something like that.
So you take away, we take away three state fair shows and one repeat of Psycho Susie's.
Yeah.
That's a lot of goddamn restaurants.
And we still have, we've barely scratched the surface on St. Paul.
Right.
You know, in the suburbs, we got a lot of places. That's one thing I like about this show is that I cannot see a time when it's over. Like when we've done every place.
Okay. Before the car dies.
Yeah. Or one of us dies.
Yeah. Knock on wood.
Yeah. But all the information for that will be available on the website, facebookgangsters.com. And on, of course, on the Facebook, facebook.com/WellFitGuideToLife. And Twitter, twitter.com/WellFitGuideFPG. So we'll be posting all that stuff. So that's next week. And then the week after that, we have a very special guest.
That's a very special episode. It's very awesome. It's still funny.
It's not. No, it's really not that funny. But you have to be on your best behavior because we are having a lady on the show.
That means nothing.
I know it does. But regardless.
This gives us reason to act out.
I know. But we will be having Stephanie Meyer. No, not the author of the Twilight books. No, but Stephanie Meyer.
I'm going to lead off with that joke.
I'm sure, yeah. That'll go over like a fart in church, I'm sure. But.
So tell us, how did you come up with the whole Jacob and Bella?
We may promote it as if having the Twilight author on the show.
Oh, my God. Imagine
that. That would be hilarious. Anyway.
Stephanie Meyer's on the show in very small print. Not that Stephanie Meyer.
I don't even know a small print. Anyway, Stephanie Meyer, she's a food blogger. She writes for a bunch of magazines. She's the leader of the Minnesota Food Bloggers group. And really just a super cool lady. And we've been trying to get her on the show for at least a year.
She's going to give us the time of day. Basically.
Yeah. So, but yeah, she'll be on the second week in January. Very excited about that. I got other special guests.
Where are we going?
We haven't decided yet. We should probably figure that out. We can't do the night of planning bullshit like we normally do.
I have a thought, but we're probably going to need to get reservations about an hour.
Well, we can talk about that on the show. We can always ask her, too.
Right.
We can be the gentleman that we supposedly are.
How dare us.
I know. Yeah, so lots coming up in January. I want to try to get another guest on for end of January, early February as well.
We're rapidly approaching 200.
Yeah, we got the episode 200. Yeah, 200 will happen. We had to push it back a week because originally it was going to be Valentine's Day weekend.
Right.
But we missed the show, so I pushed it back. So Lord knows what we're going to do for that. But regardless, lots planned. So, and I want to do a special shout out to our listener Shonda, who was nice enough to wish us Merry Christmas in her comments on the show. She's a big fan of ours, so thank you, Shonda.
Thank you.
I will. By the time you hear this, I will have responded to your comments.
So. Happy Christmas.
Christmas, yes. And we also want to thank our sponsor HopChart.com for all of your beer cataloging needs. And am I forgetting anything? Foursquare. We are in Foursquare. Foursquare.com/WellFitGuideToLife. And we'll be better about marking which one of us is going where.
Right. Because we've now figured out time travel.
Yes. We managed, in some sort of weird psychic connection, we managed to check in about 10 minutes apart from each other, despite being in different states.
I told you buying that beat-up DeLorean was worth it.
I know.
You doubted me.
I didn't need much convincing for a DeLorean.
That's true. Does anybody really?
No. No one should, at least. Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening, and we will see you next week.